tell the turn in the season with fingertip chills. The change in the colors as the trees shed their frills. The transformation from green to brown to bare, and every orange-gold transient shade between. Shedding to create a rustling, crunching carpet, falling frost-coated foliage as far as the eye can see, all frozen in the morning mist. The robin makes his rounds, red breast held defiant, to say the landscape is not dead, head held high, in search of grubs to keep his belly fed. The ploughman is the robin's friend, tilling up the ground, creating easy forage, turning the robin's luck around. The squirrel, she has a different plan, stashing nuts away into a thousand nooks and crannies to keep hunger at bay. Me, I'm like the hedgehog, I like to hibernate, to hide away from winter chills in a cozy hideaway. The winter is a wondrous time of wind and chills and change, when nature takes a quiet break till spring chimes in again.
Lovely, thank you, Henry. And next we have Catherine Ronan, please.
My poem is called You. You are part of me now, my story, my jigsaw, my mind, my rainbow, my recipe, my deep drawer escape, my moon, my dream, my song, my hush, you.
Thank you, Catherine. And next we have Benjamin Burns. Oh.
This is a modern reworking of one of Heraclitus' fragments, the Greek philosopher, and I like him because he's kind of bitter and also very thoughtful and fun. Homer deserves to be knocked out of the poetry slam and beaten with the microphone stand. And Archilochus too.
That was short and sweet and bitter. Thanks, Ben. And next can we have Dan Johnson, please. About a character I used to work construction with. Summer job. Bukowski never met Bob, but I'm sure he knew him. Bob used to live up the street, but now Bob drives all the way from Bumfucksville, Pennsylvania, which is perfect because he can start on Bud number 1 as he gets on I-80 to head east towards Skyline Drive. He's on number 6 and a half path. And a half pack of Mavericks by the time he's coming down the mountain. Carpentry is a noble profession. Jesus did it, as his father before him. Bob is a carpenter too. He gets to the job site at 8 in the morning, where he can inform me through his ashy cigarette. Fucking still got that bitch of a girlfriend. Fucking still got my jean shorts that air my nuts. Fucking still got that head of hair though. Fucking right, man. Fucking right. Now give me that 2x4. And I laugh through gritted teeth as I search for the supplies, sort nails from screws, Phillips heads from the other one, until the workday's over and I can jump in my car and drive and drive and drive past Bob and the good old boys until my tire's flat, punctured by the dark glass of a broken beer bottle. Thank you.
That's very good.
Thanks very much, Dan. And next can we have Sue Blue. Right, I'm feeling daring today, right? Okay. People always say,
when I talk about this topic, they say, but you're 30 young. So here we go. I am 46 years of age. This is called moon pause. Oh, how I miss the rhythm of my cycle. The joyful beating heart of my own womb. Waxing with the blossom of ovulation, with the bloom of ovulation, waning for release with the red moon. In all of its complexion, all its aspects, I miss the beauty of this rhythm so. The throbbing rise from bleed to lustful times, the pause of dry days filled with other focus. The luscious sweetness, wanting scented, pulse inducing on the wanton peak. The wildness of the freedom post excitement, and another dry pause great to fill alone. Then letting go in riding ecstasy to civilize the rawness of my tempers, and last, the purge of slowly built up tension in the strength and weakness of my blood. Now there is no more cycle, no more moon to keep my time and to keep me on the route, no more build up. No release and bleeding, no juicy joy of pheromones to tell. No sharing of the wildness of the ride without the words to call out for my need. And no relief from pressures of my moods in the soft surrender to the fleshy flood. Instead came long weeks of erratic flow, unreadable my body, no relying. For many months I kept the flower closed, not knowing what on earth was going on. Then suddenly, it was all gone, all still. I wait as nothing stirs or grows inside me. One moon, two moons, and three, no drop. And I begin to miss it all so much. Instead now, I have daily sweaty outbreaks. My fans become a most important friend, as if I was a broken thermostat. My nights too hot, too cold, full bladder up again. And when my monthly mood begins to tighten up to that pressure we call PMS, there now is no more saving outlook that in a few days' time my body will release. It all has given life a fuller meaning. I've had my play with fire and with bloom. One time I have fulfilled my nature's role and will not miss the monthly pain at all. But oh, I miss the rhythm of my cycle. The joyful beating heart of my own womb. No more now, there is only stillness. No more sweet rawness. No more moon.
Wow. Really good, Sue, thank you. Next, can we have Mary O'Connell?
Thanks, Jim. This is called Revelation. So how's life treating you? Her tone is casual as we edge along the pew. I pull out my threadbare life, wondering what to show. Crumbling family home, hearth torn out, wallpaper peeling, damp seeping, jagged cracks, my wanderings back and forth, a ghost without my kin, no job, no goal, no dream. Shifting uneasily, I mumble, oh, not too bad. Searching my downcast gaze, she nods, no doubt guessing what I am trying to hide. The weave's unending darkness. In meeting her, I show myself what I've refused to see.
Ask, how are you?
Did you get to Mary's age?
So next. can we have our tonight's five word challenge winner, Phyllis Spillane?
So, we're writing a hyper-realism read lately. It's about an IT assistant to a few of them. And there's a chapter where one was sent to a printer. And in the middle of it, ended up with him falling in love with the printer. I thought this was a great idea. What we meant, like, great words are coming from this. The idea is a bit worrisome. I'm okay. Everything's all right. But this is, I decided just to put it into this shortened poem. And yeah, and it's a bit lustful and very saucy. This is
more.
Oh, LaserJet, with your just-for-clanking mouth, you plastic printing press, mechanical hymn scent of toxic ink, let me crawl into your mouth, curl up into your ink cartridge, snuggle tight in your blackness, print me out into a love poem on your A4 white, stole me like a paper caught in your gears. The printer masturbates. The page, the ink, I lust for your blotches. As I feel everything in my heart run out.
Yeah.
Someone just came in with the worst word.
See what you've done to them, Phil.
I go back to my spoons.
And next can we have Dan Harding, please.
Yeah.
Dawn Harding.
Dawn.
This morning you're up.
Sorry.
That's before the dawn. I don't watch television for
religious reasons.
The internet, but I keep up with the news by reading the Examiner or the Irish Times a couple times a week. What annoys me is the headlines on page 2 usually are men sentenced to 12 years for abusing his son or his daughter or something like that. This is called Pedophile. May you burn at the stake of tender sticks, wafted slightly by a still furious breeze, very slowly consuming your feet and calves, your screaming loud before it hits the knees. The tender child screamed before those flames. The heart's dying, but the rage is raging. Young hearts are young, but young in names, and the young names are aging, aging, aging. And now the flames creep slowly towards your groin. Caress your trembling thighs like a viper's tongue. Not much for the old dead to be dying, but the dying ones to be the young. Little boy, your magic eyes are glowing upon your baby sister's curls and smiles. You see nothing but her beauty, and unknowing, something watches. Blood flows upon the tiles. May your teeth grind to mulch when the flames roast your testicles like chestnuts upon a London street. May you be sodomized by the vilest sodomized roaming Satan's corridors with hooves upon their feet. In your hell, eternity is too short a time, and all the time you have is worth having, while here on earth you leave behind your crime of the undead, they are left to go on living.
Thanks very much. Next we have Patricia Walsh, please.
One thing with a secret scissors. The innocent laughed at through a routine transaction, feeling forced to end waves of good at right living. Having to laugh in the face of criminality, everything wiped off the market on view. Never fear, this is a wonderful life. Only reminiscing on more or less stupid for time. Got the case, got improved, a glass of milk, in the usual custom. Once put again, high water. Self-aggrandizement at the expense of the lost. Neatly swallowed, like true typical dose. Being watched like a sentinel, a likely story. Not enjoyed the right theft, beaten to submission. Feeding through my paraffin, divergent the story is. Fearing the probably inevitable, for short of funds. Naming the elusive star after you still. Open all hours, the best to aggrandize profit. Keeping receipts like secrets to savor, or like voluminous sweets at the end of Lent. Perchance loyalty disguises function. Cathartic transaction a necessary device. Between you and me, nominative desiring. Counting the cost of being at your service. Bad enough to kill at an hour's notice. Better teeth to eat you with, the gods still you. Thanks.
Thanks, Patricia. And next can we have Jerry Murphy.
Sorry, Mary. But is there an age for your time of life, or is it just gone? Did it stop counting?
Oh no, 76 now on the 12th of December.
You!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Again?
Anyway, this is anybody did their leaving cert in 2003?
No.
No, you're all doing that. This was the past paper in here, so you probably all did honours in your time. This is called rush hour. I know the pedestrian light is in your favour and you must go and go now, but I want to linger just a little longer in your embrace at the corner of Washington Street and South Main Street. I want to kiss each individual hair of your head from root to tip while the light changes and changes again and the city grinds to a shuddering halt. And the sky tilts over to reveal teeming constellations, utterly silent, unbearably distant. I just want to finish off with this. This is actually still, you know, it's copies in Waterstones for a very modest €6. It's my 14th publication, by the way. Suck on that.
We know you're famous.
Go on, say it again. Go on.
They love you anyway.
They love your autograph.
They love them in Macedonia.
Macedonia, yeah, Jesus Christ, I'm big in Macedonia. I was reading this in Fudan University in Shanghai about 2008. And, you know, you do, it's kind of a, it's called a Freudian slip, okay? I was in front of the audience, it was 600 students. And I started my reading with this in China, right? It's called A Note on the Demise of Communism. It was only after Colin Creed was with me, he said, what the fuck were you doing? I give the communist salute to my capitalist ex-girlfriend. She takes the corner of the clip in her black BMW, doles me out an imperious nod, and leaves me to choke back Marxist-Leninist rhetoric in a plume of carbon monoxide.
Jerry, actually Ben was working in Waterstones and Jerry came in once and had his own book coming up to the counter. And Ben was like, oh, buying your own book? And then he was like, do you know why I'm buying my own book? Because I can. So, thanks very much, Jerry. Can we now have Shauna Lee Lynch, please?
So I only started writing poetry like 2 years ago, so I think I missed out on a lot of like teenage angst poetry that I try to make up for now. So I've been doing like a deep dive into my memories about all the wrongs that have been done to me, and I'm going to write about them. I thought my heart was broken at 13. I spent weeks dopey around this one scene, dreaming up imaginary conversations of romantic situations, creations of cinema dates and grabbing bites, all complete notions like my psyche fixated, casting him in my thoughts first thing in the morning and last thing at night, hoping that he was conserving some very intense adoration for me quietly until the right moment. I can't remember what actually occurred, but at the time I thought I would be emotionally scarred forever, as rejection was delivered in some form or another. I don't even know if the memory matches the same fellow I'm thinking of, but what has lingered is the feeling. Specifically, it was a Sunday night when the blow came. I lay on the ground in front of my radiator. Above it hung a large poster of Justin Timberlake. Memory has him shirtless and kind of wet, but I suspect that could be an adult embellishment. I listened to Dangerously in Love, track 6, Me, Myself and I, melodramatically on repeat for a good 5 hours, wishing I was prettier or funnier or something or to make me more wanted. The dismissal it folded me, I contemplated how alone in the world I was, and how everything would be different when I was a grown-up, and how adults can't be lonely because they have cars and go to bars and coffee shops. Bet Justin Timberlake's never lonely. The theatrics of it all are now comic, yet as a woman, having been through it many times, the ringer, when that trigger is pulled of being jilted, I am automatically tilted right back to the sadness of that girl on the floor, still looking to Beyonce for solace. Woo!
Thanks, Shauna. Next, can we have Amy Gurlitt, please?
Thank you. So, I don't think this one is finished, but... My eyes look upon a battlefield where my patience is fighting herself. Slayed moments lay bleeding onto my tongue. It was her that has spoken hastily, and now she is licking her wounds. My eyes look down to my feet where I've been standing motionless. Since fear nestled in my heart, faded opportunities lay looking back at me, asking only one question. Why didn't you go with us? Her feet only wanted to run and dance, but she stayed still until they'd forgotten how. My eyes looked into my womb and it's empty. Strangers tried to build a home there, not knowing that she didn't trust, nor did she know what home is. What a strange place this is, this red cave, where life can be created. An empty house, wandering nowhere and everywhere, she was oblivious to her own power. My eyes look down on my hands, where no one is being held, longing for warmth, yet instantly letting go every time the other hand reaches too far inside her core. Now her hand's right, about her tongue, about her feet, about her womb. Now she writes.
And next can we have Bernadette Gallagher, please.
Hi everybody. So this poem, I was asked to write a poem about the Mississippi River or any river for an online journal called To the River, where this is now published, and it's based on a journey to India last year and to the US this year. connect two rivers. Ganga to La Croix. One. We talk of the river as if we know her. But we only know her like we know a sister, brother, spouse, at a certain time and place. In Varanasi, city of the living, where many want to die, we sit and look at her from sunrise to sunset. Wash our clothes, ourselves. Take a boat to the other side. Take our leave. Two. We talk of the river as if we know her, but we only know her at certain points. At Afton, where a turtle looks for food. Before sunrise, a boat floats in the fog. Men stand with fishing rods held taut. This river that meanders into the Mississippi, carried south where we meet again at New Orleans. Like family, she gets into our blood, and we carry her home. Thank you.
That's Bernadette. And next, can we have Kieran McCartan, please?
I've had so much for so long that I can't remember how to live without it. I'm accustomed to plethora, and my privileged circumstances allowed it. And when happenstance took it back, there was nothing that I could do about it. And I am much more helpless now than I ever would have been without it. I'm too soft and tender, for the default as is rendered is too easy. High on stimulation, never knowing how fair the fall beneath me. If I'm to know this paradigm, I need to suffer pain in time to teach me. Before all hope of growth is lost and no one's words can stretch the space to reach me. What's a parent to a child who knows nothing of the wild while still hungry? And they served me their best dish, and they made it to save the life they gave me. And I've been wined and dined on the grey line where comfort meets safety. How could they account for this, having worked so hard for it? That which made them rich now enslaves me.
Thank you, Kieran. So we've kind of come to the end of the list, but I have a poem if you'll have me. You probably won't like me when I read this poem. It's called I Hate Dogs. Most people will not like me, but I'm at peace with that. I don't mind.
Yeah.
So it's called I Hate Dogs. If dogs could evolve and grow opposable thumbs, they'd be the type I try to avoid at parties. The kind that burst through the room to shake my hand and give sloppy kisses to each cheek. The cold, wet gloss of their noses brushing against my neck, running their paws all over my chest in a clumsy body search. Breaking the chain of my necklace, sending crystal pinballs bouncing off the tiles in a spray of fragmented light, oblivious to expense. With their friends making appeasements for the careless greeting, explaining that he was just excited to meet me. If dogs could talk, I'd hold my nose from their meaty breath, fouling the conversation, which consists of one repetitious question. Can we be friends? Can we be friends? Can we be friends? I'd recoil from the desperation in those hooded eyes and seek the company of a sleek black cat with jade eyes, reciting her insights on the papers of Jean-Paul Sartre. As she gives the feline perspective on existential anguish, I'd find myself annoyed when I turn around to find the dog sniffing the warmth inside my thighs. Ignoring me, waving its face away, with dog owners smiling, petting its head, encouraging the invasion. Straining my best dead inside middle-class suburban smile, I'd pretend I don't mind as the dog gets its wet nose lost inside my crotch. I'd think bitter thoughts of Schrodinger, putting a dog inside the box, how I'd keep it locked and post it around to the pound. But I keep the thoughts to myself. Dogs are a man's best friend. Beethoven, Benji, Toto, Lassie, Snoopy, and Cujo, before the rabies. I'm sure even Jesus threw his dog some scraps from the Last Supper. So I pretend I don't hate dogs, your dog, or every dog I've ever met. Yeah, we've got Mags Sweden, please.
Short, if you want. It's great. And it's just a short coming tonight. When you wish upon a star, oh prince, you know who you are. The one who likes to do the dance called La Massage. You've had your fun with Pages in. Now from Secret Ireland to Park Lane. Now the young girl's cute to blame. You kill Dommage as a nanny.
Thank you, Max. We've actually got a good, like, 20 minutes left if anyone else wants to read something.
No, I probably
don't get to do that. Mike will do something.
What?
Mike will do something. Yeah, but...
20 minutes.
Next week.
Do a 20-minute poem.
No pressure. Improvise.
Freestyle.
Do you want to do another one, Sean?
Okay.
We've got all the time. Or should we just?
I mean, you could do one if you want, Sean. We should. You know, if there's no one else on there, we should.
Yeah, Rob will do one. Yeah. Rob.
Do you want to do one, Rob?
Oh, take a moment. We'll bring you there in the morning, Sean.
Okay, I think we're going to call, we're going to grab, okay, we're going to call
Anarchist Bob, you slavers with your money, your establishment and all, your stocks and shares are invisible, and so are all your laws. You've bully boys in blue suits, armies stocked with fools, to keep in line the common folk who break your stupid rules. You've leaders full of cancer, hey, Valium and speed, and when the hawks around them squawk, like fools you still get heed. And still you fight the same fight that your fathers fought for years, by rule you know except a truce. Save us all the tears, cause I see it with my own eyes. Your institutions crumble, flocks of whining civil servants, their plastic worlds a-tremble. And when Wall Street windows open, and recession clouds appear, while people starve, these capitalists will walk the streets in fear. So be sure and hear my warning, or when the day of judgment comes, you'll find yourself up against the wall, facing your own guns.
Yeah.
We're going to call it a night now. So can we have a big round of applause for Uman Kalra, our guest poet?